You know, Jesus said, truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. Is that your hope this morning? The hope of eternal life. The hope of eternity. You got the hope of eternity? He wants you to have the hope of eternal life this morning. You know why you're a Christian? Maybe you're a Christian here. What's your hope? What's your hope? That you'll have a good life here on earth, or you've got the hope of eternity? That's what Jesus wants you to have. Thanks, guys. We just love your worship. Maybe we'll just leave you there because it'd be good just kind of flow in and out of this. You know, that's what Jesus wants you to have. Can you say it this morning? I have the hope of eternity. You know, that for a Christian, you know, God hasn't just left us here to live on earth and then we die. I want to talk this morning about some hope that we have. Have you got hope this morning in your life? What's your hope? You know, if you had to turn to your neighbor, what would you say that your hope was? What's this hope? What's this eternal life that Jesus was talking about? Eternal life. You know, there was a Sunday school teacher. He asked his class one day, get that, you know? Sunday school teacher, he asked his class one day, he said to his class, he said, you know, if I sold my house and my car, had a big garage sale, and I gave all the money to the church, would I go to heaven? And the class went, no way, no. He said, okay, what if I cleaned the church every day, mowed the lawn, kept the grass tidy, would I go to heaven? They said, no, you'll never go to heaven. And he said, well, if I was kind to the animals and I gave lollies to children... Oh, that's a bit now. This was a very long time ago. This story came out. Men giving lollies to children. Anyway, we won't go there. Yeah. And he said, and I love my wife, and I was kind to my kids. Would that get me into heaven? They said, no. He said, well, then how can I get to heaven? And this little 5-year-old boy shouted out, you've got to be dead. I thought, that's very perceptive. The only way you can get to heaven, you know? Anyone want to go to heaven? Well, come up. Yeah, that's, you've got to be dead, you know? Where's your hope today? What hope have you got? What hope have you got? I want to talk about hope today. What sort of hope have you got, you know? The only way to get to heaven is to be dead. But is heaven our ultimate destination? Is heaven the hope of a Christian life? Is heaven your hope? Are you saying, yes, I've got the hope of heaven in my heart. That's where I want to end up. Is that the hope of the Christian life? You know, like the little boy in the story, that's probably what we've taught, you know. We'd probably say, yeah, that's our hope. And we sing it in songs. I was thinking of that song we sing at Christmas time, Away in a Manger. I started singing it in the first service, but that day just... My hearing, you know, it was just terrible. Anyway, you know how the last line goes, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. That's beautiful, isn't it? Away in a manger. That's why they don't get me to sing. Living with Jesus forever in heaven. Is that our hope? You know, a lot of people, you know, think that you know, we're being fitted for heaven to sing on in the clouds, and we're all going to be, there's going to be a big issue of harps, and we're all going to sit in heaven on clouds singing hallelujah. Hallelujah is good to sing, but it might surprise you if I said that Jesus didn't come to take us to heaven. Jesus never came to take us to heaven. And the picture that the Bible gives is kind of a little bit different than that sort of misbelief. In fact, the phrase going to heaven doesn't appear in the Bible at all. Did you know that? The phrase going to heaven doesn't appear in the Bible at all. Jesus talked about eternity. He talked about eternity. What hope have you got in eternity? You know, we can come and have self-help sermons, but I think that we need to affirm the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. What hope have you got in Jesus Christ this morning? I want to talk about that today. And what hope do you have of eternity? And this is something that Paul picks up in the passage that we're going to look at. If you've got your Bible, open your app, open your pages, whatever way you have it. And I just want to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, not chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. This is Paul. He's writing to the church in Thessalonica, obviously. And he says this: "We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep," verse 13, "that you may not grieve as others who have no hope." He's saying, you know, when it comes to your life, we don't want you to grieve as those who are asleep. We looked at this a couple of weeks back. When it comes to the word sleep, it's not talking about, as some people believe, soul sleep, that your soul goes to sleep. The word in the Bible is a metaphor of sleepers, is a metaphor of death. So those who have died, we don't grieve as those who have no hope. And he's talking about people who have died. And then he goes on and says, "Since we believe, for we believe Jesus Christ died and rose again, even though through Jesus, God will bring him and those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command and the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive will be left, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Do you encourage one another with these words? "Hey, brother. You know, one day we're going to be caught up with the Lord in the clouds and we're going to meet him. Is that so encouraging to you?" How many people have encouraged you with those words, Rena? You know, are they praying, "Oh, wow, this is such an encouraging word"? That's an encouraging word. Paul wants you to get excited about this. Are you excited about it? And then it looks like Glenn is. And overdose of coffee before he got here. You know, Paul is saying, if you believe in Jesus, when it comes to death, we don't grieve without hope. Have you ever been to a Christian funeral? You know, most of the ones I've been to, there's optimism there, there's hope in the air, there's faith in the air. I've been to a non-Christian funeral and it's kind of like, what on earth is going on here? There's no hope. People are kind of clutching on to something. "We hope Bob's having a good time wherever he's gone." They don't know, but they're kind of thinking that Bob lives on. Does he? Where? What's your hope? What's your hope of eternity? And Paul's saying that we don't grieve without hope. And they say, well, what is the hope that we have? Well, he answers it in verse 14. He says, "For this is the reason that we don't grieve. This is the reason that we have hope." Not that we don't grieve, that we have hope when it comes to grief. We don't grieve without hope. This is the reason. For we believe Jesus died and he rose again. Is that where your hope is this morning? If it's not, I believe God's talking to you and saying, I want you to get this hope. I want you to have a hope of eternity. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. There's so much proof of this very fact that Jesus died and rose again. Is that where your hope is? Is this where your hope is? In the resurrection of Jesus. When it comes to death, we believe in the resurrection of the dead. Is that where your hope is? If that's true, why do so many people say that we're going up to heaven and we're going to sit in clouds, that we have some sort of disembodied state and we're spiritual beings that will live up in heaven? Do we not believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? You know, sometimes people think that Jesus died and then he rose again and then he zipped off to heaven and he's living up in heaven in some sort of spiritual state, but he's not. Jesus is in heaven in a resurrected body. Do you believe that? You know that he's coming again in a resurrected body. John say so in second John, that if anybody comes out and says Jesus is going to come again as a spirit, they're wrong, and that's the spirit of the Antichrist. Where's your hope? In the resurrected Jesus? In the resurrected Jesus? For we believe that he died and rose again. This is the belief, this is the reason for our hope. Jesus is coming again. And this is what he's talking about here in verse 15. For we declare to you by word from the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. I've got to correct something here. A lot of people use this verse to back up the rapture. Does anybody understand what the rapture is about? You know, that one day there's this belief that's floating around in the church that this is the verse that backs it up, that one day that the earth is so evil that Jesus is going to come and he's going to take all the Christians and he's going to rapture them off the earth and he's going to place them in heaven while this great period of tribulation goes on the earth. This verse does not back that up. This is not talking about that sort of rapture. He raptures us off the earth, but something different is going on within this verse here. That belief comes from a Gnostic view. And Gnosticism was something that hit the church in the first three centuries of it. It believed that the earth was evil and that people were going to be raptured off and placed into heaven because the earth is evil and the earth is going to burn up and people are going to live for eternity in heaven. And it still believed a lot of churches and a lot of Christians today. They're holding on to this Gnostic view that the earth is evil. When God created the heavens and earth, he said it was good. And he's doing a work in it to fashion it and remake it that it would be just like that. He never said that the earth is evil. And this view has crept into the church, a very Gnostic view, and that we become super spiritual beings that live in eternity as spiritual beings in heaven. That is not the view of the Bible, people. And so I may be pushing on things that irritate you. I said in the first service, that is why pastors were made. They were made to be irritants. And if you think, oh no, what I'm saying isn't right or isn't based on the Bible, then go back to the scriptures and be like the Bereans and read it. Study the scriptures and think and make sure that what I'm saying really aligns with the scriptures. Jesus is coming again. And the Greek word that's used about this is parousia, coming, verse 15. And the word, if you do theology, you'll be doing it. You'll be studying this word big time. And it actually means presence. Jesus is going to be present. And in Paul's day, this word had kind of two meanings. And the main meaning of the word was it was used, the parousia, was used to describe an emperor or a king who came to be present in one of his principalities or one of the cities or one of the towns and countries that he was the ruler of. And what happened was that when this ruler, the emperor or the king, was coming to town, the officials of the city would go out up from the city gates and meet the ruler, the emperor, the king, and they would escort him back into the city. And this is what Paul is picking up here of this coming, that the ruler, the emperor, just like the ruler and emperor comes to a city, all the town officials go out to meet him. They escort him back into the city. It's like when the queen comes here to New Zealand, you know. She doesn't just fly in, land, jump a cab, pop down to the beehive. No, everyone goes out and they meet her and they shake her hand as she comes off the plane. They jump into a car and they have a big fanfare and, you know, the motorbikes and everything, you know. Riding around with her. And that's what he's saying it's like here. That Jesus comes and we all, believers, those who are dead will rise again and those who are alive on this earth will rise up to meet the Lord in the air. And there we will accompany him. There's a big royal fanfare back to earth. I thought we got raptured up to heaven and we sat out the... No. This is the picture. This is the picture. We'll escort him back to earth, and then the kingdom of God will be manifest on earth. You know that great Howard Morrison song that he stole from Christians? How great thou art. See why I'm not a singer? That got that last line. And Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart. Is that right? Does he rapture us off the earth and take us home to heaven? Is that what Paul's talking about here? Because I think he's picking up on this verse. No. Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation, trumpet sounds. We shall meet him in the clouds in the air, and we shall accompany him back to the earth. That's what he's talking about here. That's the picture that the Bible gives. And there at that time, in a twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be transformed and we'll become like Jesus. Philippians 3 verse 20. We await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to be subject all things to himself. We'll be transformed. Bang. That's what's going to happen. Jesus is going to transform our bodies to be like his glorious bodies. We'll be like the resurrected Christ. You know, he's doing that now. But it's only a foretaste. And part of us is going, man, I wish I could get over this sin issue. I wish I could deal with this grumpiness, this is me, that I'm experiencing all the time. Because I know I shouldn't be like that. There's something in us that knows how we should be. There's something in us longing for eternity. And he's going to come and we're going to be transformed. And go, yes, at last. And the Bible says it's going to happen in a moment. All this is going to take place like, you know, quicker than, you're not going to be ready for it. It's like if somebody comes and robs your house. That's what he goes on and talks about. You're never ready. You're not sitting there. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the guy to come because I know he's coming today. We're not going to be ready for this. It's going to happen quickly. But the amazing thing is, and this is the picture the Bible gives, is that heaven comes to earth. That's been the flow of the whole of the Bible from the time of the original sin and fall of mankind. Heaven comes to earth. Do you know that? No, I thought we'd go up to heaven and God burns the earth up because it's evil. That's not scriptural. Plato picked up on that. Plato really destroyed Christian theology. Revelation 21 verses 1 to 3. Then I saw a new heavens and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. I'll touch on this in a minute. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. Coming down where? Out of heaven to earth. Prepared as a bride adorned for a husband, and I heard a loud voice saying from the throne, behold, the dwelling place of God is with human beings, excuse me, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God will be with them as their God. Notice he says it's coming down, not that it's going up, it's coming down. That's always been the flow, heaven coming down to the earth, you know. Picture of the end times, the culmination of the whole thing, you know. It isn't souls going up to heaven and sitting on clouds playing hallelujah and playing harps. I don't want to play harp. I think God's got something better in store for me. It's going to be massively different than we ever experienced. You know, the world is going to be the place that we wish we had. The place that we've longed for it to be like, a world that's going to be transformed by God, the way back, the way that he had designed it, the way that he designed it. We see the picture of it there in Genesis 1 and 2, a picture of a great garden. In the end times, it's going to be a transformed heaven and earth that's going to look like a garden. Paradise again. And the Bible talks about this in Romans 8. In Romans 8, Paul talks about the whole of creation. It's like it's birthing something. The whole of creation is in the midst of this birth pangs. And it's on tiptoe expectation of this great day. People are going to be transformed. And then verse 22, creation itself is going to be set free and transformed. That's always been God's design. Because the earth is good. He wants it back. Is that where your hope is? Is that where your hope is? This is God's plan. Ephesians 1:10. If you got your Bibles, flip to this passage. This is God's plan. From the fullness of time, Paul says, what? To unite all things in him, things on heaven and things on earth. That's God's plan. We think, oh no, he's going to separate it. He's going to plop all the Christians up on the planet. Oh, he's going into heaven and he's going to burn earth up. No. He's going to unite all things in heaven and on earth as one. I was singing a song, couldn't get it. You know, heaven and earth shall become one. That's as far as I got on it. That's right. You know, this is the final answer to the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven and earth will become one. You know, we see pictures of it. You know, this whole picture of God dwelling, God's presence with man. And we can experience a part now with the Holy Spirit that's here. But it's going to be in its fullness. One day we're going to be living with Christ on earth. The presence of God. The presence of God that we see in Genesis 1 is going to be happening here in Revelation 22. Are you excited about that? Is this where your hope is? Oh no, my hope's that I can have a good life with Jesus now. And if I die, well, I go to eternity. That's cool. Well, what is it? Oh, I'm going to sit in heaven. No. This will affect the way that you live on earth now. Old Testament, you know, the temple. Israel was told, you know, God to build this temple. What happened in the temple? Oh, they had a temple and they went and worshipped at it. No, the presence of God would manifest itself in the temple. They called it the Shekinah glory. The glory of God shone out in that. That's a prototype. That's a picture of what's going to happen one day. That rather than just this little temple, God is going to be present on earth. Oh, I thought we went up to heaven to see God. Do you know that the word that heaven in the Bible is really talking about the abode of God, the place where God dwells? Heaven is the presence of God. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Yes, it does. You think about it. You know, the picture when Jesus came to earth dressed as a man, what was that? Heaven coming to earth. The presence of God on earth with man. The kingdom of God was breaking into this realm. God was beginning to set back right the mucked up world with the presence of Jesus. And Jesus is the first fruits of something. Of what will happen to you if you're a believer in him. Wow, this is exciting stuff. The dwelling place of God with man. The flowing's always been that way. You know, Revelation 21 verse 3, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will dwell with them. And that whole word dwell is John 1:14, Jesus dwelling with mankind. God dwelt with mankind right at the beginning in the garden. This is how it's going to happen, people. Is that your hope? I know. Or yes, yes, yes. You say, well, what's it going to look like? Well, let me give you a few snippets in closing, and then there'll be a place of perfect freedom from evil. How many long for that? You know, we hear it. Everybody longs for it. You know, the politicians saying we've got to do something about the crime rate within the country. You know, we just can't have the prisons getting bigger and bigger and bigger. There's something wrong with our country. This needs to stop. We need to try and curb it. What are they saying? We need to get rid of evil. We need to try to do something about it. Poverty that's going on in the nation. Let's try to have a well-being budget that makes things better. There's something within them that's witnessing. This isn't how it should be. We need to do something to change it. They'll never do it with
without Jesus. It'll be a place of freedom from evil. The earth will be transformed, cleansed from evil. There'll be no temptation, no sin. Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. Could you imagine that? You know, man, I really felt the enemy was getting in there. You won't be saying that. That's going to be great, isn't it? Finally, Revelation 20, verse 10. We'll experience perfect freedom from evil, and we'll never have a selfish thought. We'll do things that are holy, perfect, and right before God. You know, the Bible speaks of heaven like this. Nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those whose name are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Wow. And one of the things I love about it is that there will be no mores. The no mores. You know, Revelation 21 verse 4 tells us that in heaven, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. We won't cry anymore. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things will have passed away. There'll be no more sin, no more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow. Is that your hope? Well, I'm just really wanting to pray, go up to heaven, sit on a cloud and play a harp. No, I want this. I want to live as the scriptures say it. There'll be no more persecution, no more division, no more disunity, no more hate, no more arguments, no more disagreements, no more addictions, no more disappointment. I'm up for that. Then there'll be perfect experiences, perfect pleasure. You show me the pathway of life in your presence. There is fullness of joy in the right hand of pleasures forevermore. You say, man, I pleasure occasionally, not forevermore. Where does the evermore happen? When heaven and earth become one in the presence of Jesus. Perfect comfort. There'll be perfect knowledge. If we see in a mirror dimly, then we'll see face to face. For I know in part, then I will know fully. Wow, wouldn't that be great? I know fully. I know everything. You know some people like that and you think, what a person he is. We'll all be like that. We'll know fully. Wow. There'll be perfect comfort. There's no agony in heaven. There's agony in hell. There's eternal comfort in heaven. Perfect love. Now, faith, hope, and love abide, and the greatest of these is love. Why? Because love is eternal. Faith and hope will no longer be needed. Isn't that amazing? The greatest thing is love. True, yeah, because love remains. The love that wept and bled and died on the cross will engulf you forever. Perfect joy. Unmixed, unending joy. You know, joy in this life is mixed with sorrow and discouragement, disappointment, worry, anxiety. But in heaven, it'll be pure joy. And this is the last one. Perfect body. I can't wait. Imagine that. All those magazines, those Women's Day magazines are going to go out of print. Because we'll all have a perfect body. We won't have to look at it. Oh, man, I wish I was like that, man. Oh, look at that. I wish they could airbrush this bit here. No, we'll have perfect bodies. Botox will have gone. You know what? All those, that sort of stuff is, people are wanting to prolong their lives because they know that it's not right that life should seem to get, we should seem to get old age and saggy bits that need to be boosted. I see some of you smiling. Because something in us knows this isn't right. It's not. Eternity's coming. There's a hope in us. There's a witness within people's hearts. We need to do something about it. You know, Joni Erickson was a wonderful Christian who became a quadriplegic as a result of a diving accident. She dove off a cliff and into a river and hit a rock on the way into the water. And she ended up a quadriplegic. And she was going through one of her times of pain. Really, it took an hour to get ready in the morning with her carer.
And I think Akira said, I bet you can't wait for heaven. And she wrote, you know, like Paul said, we groan to be clothed with a heavenly dwelling. The picture of a heavenly dwelling is of our resurrection bodies. This is what Paul's talking about. And she went on to say, I can hardly believe that I, with atrophied muscles, shriveled, bent fingers, and no feeling from the shoulders down, I will one day have a new dazzling body that's wonderful work in order, clothed in righteousness. Can you imagine the hope this gives to somebody who's disabled? Whether by cerebral palsy, brain injury, or manic depression. You know, no other religion, no other philosophy it promises glorified bodies, hearts, and minds. Only the gospel of Jesus gives us this incredible hope. But you may not be paralyzed. With a broken neck. But you're paralyzed by other limitations. A broken heart. Broken home. Broken by rejection. Things that you feel that, you know, have slammed the door on your desire for satisfaction in this life. But our faith in Jesus throws open the windows to a wonderful hope. You know, and trying to understand it, it'd be like trying to tell an acorn what it's going to look like when it becomes an oak tree. You just can't really tell somebody what it's going to be like. All we can say is that we'll be like Jesus. What? I'll look like a man? Well, I will. But you'll still look like you, but in a transformed way. Transform bodies like his. 1 John 3:2. What we do know is this: when he's revealed, we'll be like him. Yeah, we'll be like Jesus. Mannerisms, character, the way you speak, your attitudes of heart, like Jesus. And it'll be a new body, but it'll still have likeness of, you know, people will know, hey, there's Jared and there's a resurrected body. Jesus shining out of him, flesh and blood. You know, Jesus appeared to his disciples. They said, oh, we don't believe in the resurrection. What's going on here? And Jesus said, touch me, man. Put your fingers in my hand where the nails were pierced, you know, right on the side here. You know, see, oh, that's where the soldier stuck his spear. Stick your finger in there. That's what he said. You know, Thomas was going, oh, yeah, it is you. It's you, Jesus. Wow. And now there's, oh, we're not believing. Here, give it. Have you got somebody to eat? Yeah, we got some fish. Okay. He ate it. It is you. But you know, he had some amazing things he could do with his body. He could get through closed doors. I don't know how that happened. That's the resurrection body. He could be one place one minute and one place in the next. I don't think we'll need cars on the renewed earth. I'm looking forward to that. That and my new body. We won't be limited by physical things. Jesus was able just to move through space. We won't die. We won't get sick or decay or degenerate. We won't grow old or tired. It'll be a glorious body. I'm looking forward to that day. Are you? Just in closing, suppose you went to the doctor tomorrow and he ran some tests on you and he said, oh, it doesn't look good. It's terminal. Got an incurable disease, you're going to be dead in 2 days. My guess is that when you got that sort of news, you'll probably get out of the doctor's surgery and say, what? I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I want to live. I've got too much stuff here on earth that I want to do. And you carry that sort of news and you think, man, why is it like this? It shouldn't be like this. This is so wrong that I've got this incurable disease. And if you were crying out in prayer to God, I think he'd say, I agree. We have got an incurable disease. We die, and we sin, and we die. And the amazing thing about our God is he's done something to rectify it. Not just with our bodies, but this planet that we live on. He's done everything he could to make it right. He's done everything so that you can have life. And this is the hope we have in the resurrection, that if you die, you will live. Is that your hope? Jesus said to him, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never, believes in me will live even though he dies. Is that your hope? You know, there's a story of a guy who went to visit a friend who was dying of Hodgkin's disease, a form of cancer. And they thought, man, he's only got 1 or 2 days left. And he wandered, his friend came into the hospital room. And when he saw his friend said, Don, I'm not afraid, for underneath is the rock of resurrection. Is that your hope? That's our hope. That's where our faith lies, you know. Is the solid rock of the resurrection underneath you? That if you had a terminal illness, which we do all have because we all are going to die, where's your hope? I've got the hope of heaven. Or have you got the hope of the eternal rock of the resurrection? You know, Revelation says, it's done, I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. You know, I think most people are thirsty for something more. Something that can't be satisfied, thirst for a better life, thirst for healing, thirst for to be healed of some sort of sickness they're struggling with or body parts that are wearing out. Maybe a thirst for a better life, to set free from things they're enslaved to. Well, Jesus is saying, I will meet that thirst. I'll give you a thirst, water, that will satisfy that thirst, water of eternal life. It's only found in him by believing that he died, that he rose again, by believing in him. And as we do, we can have that assurance, that hope, that if we die, we will live. We're going to conclude the service, the song. And I want to ask you, have you got that hope? Have you got that hope of eternity? God wants you to have that hope today. This is what Paul's saying, encourage one another with. The hope of eternity. The hope of a new heaven and a new earth, the two becoming one. That we're living on this planet, transformed and redeemed the way back God wanted it to be. That's our amazing hope. And I believe God wants people to reaffirm their faith in him this morning. So as the musicians come, let's pray. Let's pray. If you haven't got that hope, I'd love to talk with you and share with you and pray for you after the service.